When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Live. Is that live? That's live. Oh, the laptop's here if you want it. I don't know if you want it or not. You don't have to. It's okay, Jackson.
Okay.
I understand. Slacker.
If you don't need it.
Camera's on me, so I must say before we begin, you know that it is time to thank some pretty good organizations. First off, Gooder Sunglasses people who have renewed for 2022, everybody. You know what you need to do. Ditch the sweater, grab some holiday Gooders. No, really, that way people can't see you roll your eyes when they say something politically charged at the office party, dinner table, or pub. Oh, and don't forget the gamer glasses. Clear lenses for when you are on the trainer and have enough fans to set up to simulate Dorothy in Kansas. Get to Gooder.com today. Second, Athletic Brewing people. You like beer? You hate getting fat? Well, Athletic has the solution. If you haven't tried Athletic's non-alcoholic offerings, you are missing out. Great for day drinking, keeping the calories in check, or just about any time. Use the link at packfiller.com today to show you some love and stock your fridge. And third, Scratch Labs, everybody. The best tasting fuel out there that won't hit you in the gut like a mouthful of gravy. If you haven't tried the spice cider, now is the time. Heat it up, drink it post-ride, or even in a thermal bottle during your ride. Get to scratchlabs.com today. Oh, and lastly, Ambassador Cycling people, you need proper bike fit. You need to feel good on the bike. Nobody wants to ride a bike that hurts. So trust Sam and Ambassador Cycling to get you ready for the base to race. AmbassadorCycling.com. I just came up with that, base to race. I think I should get a quarter every time I says it from now on out. That's an old man thing to say.
Quarter.
I want a nickel. Rub grandma's bunions and she'll give you a whole quarter. Wasn't that from Christmas Vacation?
It was.
I think so. It was. Well, let's do this, you guys. The first test has come and gone. No, I'm not talking about the Pack Filler Ambassador Challenge. I'm talking about the calorie-crushing family feuding, giving them thanks, that is particular Thursday in November. For those of you not in the U.S., it's the holiday that celebrates that white people made a successful journey to screw up the life of the natives. But I digress. It's time for the Pack Filler. I'm Pat Bulger. Let's see who's here, shall we? Gentlemen, as per usual, I'm running out of questions. I need the listeners to send me more questions. But please inform us upon your introduction with a look into what makes you tick. What, in your opinion, are two of the best holiday movies ever? Allow you a second while the really loud theme continues. Two of the best holiday movies ever. First and foremost, he's to my right. I had to actually do my dyslexic, figure out my letters. Mr. Paul Main, how are you, man?
Doing all right, thanks.
Good. Best holiday movies ever. Two of them.
I'm going to go old and I'm going to go new. The best holiday movie is It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Kind of a cop-out, but I'll give it to you.
It is. Yeah.
It's
high quality. Yeah.
It's
like saying Eddie Merckx is the best cyclist.
Well, when I met my wife, she had never seen that, and she's like, oh, I got to watch this every Christmas. So she's never seen it before.
All right.
George Bailey.
Yep.
Yep. And I'm going Elf.
Elf.
Oh, high quality there too.
Good choices. Yeah. Good choices. Second to my left, Mr. Jackson Bulger. How are you, dude?
Doing well. Let's see. I think first I will also go old and new as well. First I will say Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Oh, that's adorable.
I love the peanut.
I mean, in a good way.
Yeah. No, yeah, I love the holiday peanut specials. I think they're really good, and they always mean the holidays for me. But also they're a lot shorter than when you're 22. They're a lot shorter than they are when you're about 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're like 30 minutes, maybe 20
they
minutes.
They are. They're made to be just TV specials. So.
Yeah, super quick. And then I don't know if a lot of people have seen this one, but it's on Netflix. It's called Klaus. And it's a really, like, it's a really good movie. I liked it a lot. It kind of tells the story of how Santa Claus came to be, and then you're crying at the end of it, so... Yeah.
And it's not Mickey Rooney saying put one foot in front of the other.
No, that was great.
Because that was the origin of Klaus, the Rankin Bass cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, me obviously. Oh, by the way, I'm Pat Bulger. I'm the good guy who's pushing the buttons. Obviously, Christmas Vacation. I mentioned that last episode that I have to watch it every Thanksgiving. And Die Hard. And if you don't think Die Hard is a Christmas movie, something's wrong with you. There we go. No Jack Broadhead, but should we pick what Jack would say? Jack would probably say like something from the Hallmark Channel where a woman's in a red sweater and...
Wasn't there one with Diaz and Jack Black and they switch and there's that something laws in England and they changed...
Yeah, like one of those.
Something like that, some romantic.
Jack's into that stuff.
He might like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jack's not here swinging a pick on him. I love it. All right, let's do it. Let's confess who's been riding and how much. Does anybody want to go first on this list of shame or potential?
Well, you guys have more of a story than I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't really been riding that much. But I have been getting on the trainer a little bit here and there. I am proud to proud to say that I am still getting in the top 10 of the volcano climb on Zwift. So that's a good pat on the back
nice.
For me.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, some of the fitness is still there, but I'm fine with not riding for a little bit. Once I have those 2 weeks off in December, that's when we'll go back to it.
God, I wish I could. I wish I could get away with that.
We can't. We're too
old.
Oh,
my God. Yeah. I've got this demon just staring over my shoulder going, you're slow, fucker. So I got to get my shit together. So just a couple indoor rides. Is that it?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, there.
Paul, how's your riding been?
Well, I don't count indoor rides. And I know a local guy texts me and he says, you haven't been riding. I said, no, I haven't. Outside, I haven't. Yeah. And because I don't put on Strava. I don't put my indoor training. And I've been average indoor about... three, sometimes four times a week doing yoga. And then you and I went out Sunday because it's a glorious day here in Spokane. And that was the day I was going to do the half Monty so that would adjust my my trainer to workouts. But I would have been a stupid idiot not to ride on a 58-degree day in Spokane.
Thanks, global warming.
Yeah.
Indeed. So, that was a nice ride. Yeah,
it was.
That felt good.
It wasn't all that long, but it was good.
No, I could tell the amount of time I've taken off already. Just those, God, it was probably like 6, 7, 8 weeks, though. So, I mean, it was a long time. Mm-hmm. And I could feel the slippage, so to speak, of that. I just decided that I always do this to myself. The guilt hits right around, the time when you're supposed to just say, hey, let's just relax and chill the fuck out. And I always just like, no, it's Thanksgiving. I won't eat anything. And I'll just, it's time to get fit. And my wife looks at me like going, you're ruining the holiday. And I'm sorry. And I kind of do that. So on Friday after Thanksgiving, I had to drop off a recreational vehicle. And so I just decided to drive up there and drop it off and walk home. It was like a 6-mile walk, and it kind of got me a chance to kind of get into the system of things. And I rode indoors via Zwift on Saturday, rode outside with you on Sunday, and then yesterday I started a new Swiss system training program, just a base one. I kind of want to get 6-7 plus weeks just kind of getting back into the swing of things. Nothing super hardcore and things like that. And including strengthening. I did my first strengthening video yesterday, and holy shit, I forget. If you know, you think you're doing okay, and you think you've got a good kind of base strength, and then you do 6 push-ups and you feel horrible all night long, and I'm blown away. I can't do. I'm going to confess to the listening audience right now. I probably could not do 15 push-ups right now. I can't.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I'm so swole that I got so much weight to go down and back up. I'm pushing away from the floor more than most people are. But I just did one of the Sufferfest strengthening videos, and I felt a little tight this morning and stuff like that. So it's good.
Yep.
And I'm getting my hydration and my diet shit together a little bit. So I'm not going to let it ruin the holidays. I mean, don't get me wrong. I had a piece of pie every night. Should you? Do you guys have Jackson? You're saying you're starting something around the time you get off for Christmas. Is that? Yeah. Do you have a long term training plan, or are you just going to kind of play it by ear and see what works, what feels good, what doesn't?
Yeah, I have for the past couple years, like that I've been in college. You know, the time that summer ends to Christmas time is when I've always been like, you know, I've been in plays, stuff like that, doesn't really matter.
Sure.
But then around the time when things kind of ease off, I really like to shock the system, just like hit it like I would be hitting it in the summer. Just because, like, wow. Yeah, like I want to at least not as many times, but I want to like ride as hard as I do during the summer, just to like, what I like to do is I like to pull my fitness up rather than push it up.
Sure.
You know, so I don't know if I have like a schedule necessarily. I think I'll probably include a little bit of weights here and there. But yeah, I try to ride like I would in the summer, in the winter, just so I can shock myself back into getting to it.
I shock myself every time I ride because I'm old. You know, that's when you get old. It's like, oh damn, I lost so much from yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's like Jesus, it's just fallen. Yeah, for me, if I first of all, realizing that I only average one bike ride a week, I don't know why. I mean, if I thought about it, it's probably true. But when I looked at that Strava and realized, Jesus, no wonder I felt like crap every time I was pushing it. So that gave me a big foot in my ass, you know.
That scares me.
Well, I got to do something different. And then we had that interview with Chris Carmichael. And that just like fueled the fire. It's like, oh man, if I just start doing a little bit, you know, some consistency, I think, is the importance, and really focusing on intervals and not, because it's like, oh, the only time I was riding is going out, we do long hauls or semi long hauls, you know, but not much intensity. And no wonder when we do the TNT and I'm like, God, I haven't felt like this forever, you know.
Yeah.
So, I'll set up my own little, I know what needs to be done. I'm sure Chris Carmichael will probably have a better plan for me.
Sure. But, yeah. Yeah.
But nevertheless, I got to get in the groove.
I've got a, my biggest fear is just slipping back towards where I was last January. And so I'm super paranoid about that. And then capitalizing, like you're saying, building upon what you know are your weaknesses, mm-hmm. and going from there. This last summer was my first summer in several years what I've been able to kind of go, okay, not only am I holding on, I can contribute. And I can't let that go away. I got to fight, you know, rage against the dying of the light here. So I'm going to just keep going, you know. And I don't want to make it sound like, you know, I'm in my 50s. It's not like I'm dying, for fuck's sake, you know.
Oh, no,
it's like,
no, you're gradually dying.
Yeah, well, yeah. Slowly, but
well, we all are.
Yeah, yeah, technically.
Well, you haven't peaked yet.
Yeah.
You peak at 27, so don't talk to us about slipping.
No good, kid.
Yeah, Jesus.
So it's, but I do want to capitalize on last year and build upon that. So, you know, as Sam would say himself, I just want to fuck shit up. I want to get in a race and just mess with stuff and just piss somebody off in a good way. You know,
because there is a good way of pissing people off.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. Well, just going like, God, I was doing great, and then you attacked or something like that, or you know, everything was going fine until you guys came along and did this, and yeah, well, cool.
That's better than sweeping a wheel or.
No, yeah. I'm not going to do anything like that. But you know, not unless I need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, and it was good to actually hearing about, if you, for those of you guys listening, it was a great talk with Chris about, you know, the times in the day requirements and things like that. And, you know, and I'm thinking about a 3 to 5 day workout week for the next 4, 5, 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. No, 6, 8 weeks probably, and then building upon that. But I don't think I'll ever go above 4 to 5 days a week. I don't think I'll just do it. I just don't think it's that's in the cards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You guys, I mean, I'm not going to go pro's life.
Yeah. I have had to learn recently what it's like, especially like I've got a really high energy job.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I've told you, like, for people that know Whoop Talk, you know, like I've told you, Dad, that my strain scores, I end up in similar ranges of BWR every single day.
Yeah.
Just from my...
No shit. Like 18...
Yeah, I mean...
Strain.
I'll tell you right now.
Wow.
My current
one... This should be a lesson about having kids right there. They're not even your kids and you're stressing
yeah.
out. I'm just saying.
I have...
kids.
Today I've reached an 18 strain score out of 21.
Jesus.
Which, yeah. So... But I have to realize that, like...
18!
Yeah. Yeah. But I have to realize with that high energy job how I can optimize it with, like, to my benefit, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes the intensity at the end of the day might not be reaching the goal that I want it to, but I knowing that I've, like, strained myself throughout the day is what brings me comfort. So really, I'm probably not losing any fitness because I'm running all day.
So 4-year-olds count as intervals?
It seems like it. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you going above, Paul, above and beyond anything like that? I mean, you've been saying it's like, okay, you know, you did basically 53 rides last year.
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
That's terrible.
But is it? Okay.
I mean, you know, even like I'd have to say before COVID, I was doing. At least I can check, but 2 to 3 rides. I mean, there's times where I rode every, even in the 2015, like almost every single day. I mean,
yeah.
I rode, whether it was commuting or something, it didn't have to be intensity or trace. I mean, yeah. And that makes a big difference between even commuting. If you just commute, just getting those legs turned over as opposed to sitting in a truck and knocking on the door and walking in, walking back in the truck and, you know, that's what's going to make a big difference.
And holy shit, you know, I always think that the indoor workouts are good. They are good. I mean, we can't say they're bad.
No.
But the difference between just what you and I did mm-hmm. on Sunday versus an interval workout indoors,
mm-hmm.
you can't get your heart rate up as high. It doesn't sustain. It's just, it's weird how it affects you. I mean, that ride yesterday was not yesterday, 2 days ago was harder than other stuff I'd done earlier in the year. So,
yeah, it's, you know, the bike's not static. It's moving underneath. There's other things you're concentrating on, you know, the road traffic, that type of thing. As opposed to putting your head down and laying down some watts, you know, and trying to get your heart rate maintaining. Because you don't, you know, like some of these training stuff that I've done, and I think they're very, very important. I mean, you can't take away indoor training.
Sure.
For cardiovascular and stuff. But, you know, like if you're doing a race, it doesn't say, okay, you know, the race is going to go your FTP for an hour. It doesn't. It'll drop off and then spike, and next thing you know, you're anaerobic for maybe – you know, as long as you can handle it and then drop back or even maintain. So, there's not a tempo. That's a problem with indoor riding. It's like for you and I, we're just riding and all of a sudden, for some reason, we have to pick it up or whatever.
Yeah.
And
well, even that, even there's just structured. A couple sections where you just hit the gas. I was going, oh, okay, time to get my shit together. Time. Here we go again. You know, it's like I'm sucking Paul's wheel again. God damn it. Motherfucker. Has anybody looked at the race calendar? Am I the only one who's looked at the race calendar?
No, of course I look at
it. Okay. Jackson, have you taken a glance?
No. I'm waiting to hear what you guys have to tell me.
Oh, okay. I've already found out that for some of our race, I mean, I don't want to get too in-depth in this, and I know our live stream is taking his kind of shit to bed right now, but it's coming back. I promise I had to just switch Wi-Fi networks. I people probably who don't live around here don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm out for the tour Walla Walla because it's a job requirement weekend, so I'm fucked there. Our local race, our local stage race, I'm in for sure. There's no way I'm going to miss the RC3 Omnium.
Yep.
The Tour de Bloom.
Drink. Hang on, I'm pouring.
I'm definitely in for that. I don't know if I'm in for that. I don't know if I want to be in for that, because if I can't go with my friend Paul, I don't know if I want to go with that.
Well, I'll chip it in. I'm having approached my wife, and my mom will be 89 at that point. So how many more Mother's Days will she have?
Yeah, this is true.
And so that's the only thing.
This is
bike. I have a story I probably shared one time before on this about.
Let
a
Uncle
great
Paul
Mother's Day
spin you yarn.
Mother's Day massacre, and it was not pretty, my friends. It was a bad situation. Our Rive at the time, we put on a race.
Yep,
that was. We had a road race. We had the Spokane River Road Race on Saturday, and then Sunday was Mother's Day, and we had a Criterium at Manitou, which is a beautiful park, one
gorgeous.
Of the best parks around. Seriously, it's amazing. And that happened to land on Mother's Day, and I was newly married. And
You were just married?
Yeah, it was 96.
God.
And, you know, I said, I just have to help set up. I'm not going to do anything. You know, my volunteer, and I told him I have obligations. And I told CP, who was doing everything.
He's race director back
then.
Yeah.
I said, I have to be home, but I will help set up. And I'm scrambling, you know, chucking hay bales off for the corners and stuff like that, sweeping and everything. And I went back, and early day cell phones, you know, phone rings, and Chris is going, dude, three volunteers haven't showed up. We can't have this race until we have volunteers.
Oh, fuck.
And then I said, all right. And I turned to my wife and said, you know, I got to go. This race is not going to go off. And she goes, what? I said, yeah, you can do this without me.
But honey, we're newlyweds.
I've never seen her more mad then and ever before, even up to 27 years later, whatever, since we've been married. So it was a bad, bad thing. And I just called Chris. Not going to make it. I'm not going to make it.
I remember that day.
That was nasty.
I also remember that day that the head official looked at Chris and said, as long as I am a USCF, back
official,
in those days,
yeah.
I think, official, this race will never happen again on this course again, because it was Mother's Day in a huge park with a road that people could cross anytime they want to. And it was just, I thought that it was Mother's Day massacre on so many different levels, because there were so many reasons why that race shouldn't have been happening in that park at that time. And it was a crusher. It was a shame, because I raced that year too. I should have helped. I should have volunteered to fucking race. And I got stuck behind a crash right at the start. And I spent the next like,
why don't you take a free lap?
Well, no, I didn't crash.
If you get stuck behind a crash, you can take a free lap.
They didn't tell me that at the time. So once everything got going again, half the field was stuck behind it. So
and no one took a free lap.
No.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and then it took us forever to catch. I never caught back on. I never got to the front again. I was a little upset.
We had multiple people who brought their parents their mother to the park for a picnic, and then they can't even cross the road. People are screaming, you can't cross.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just, that was a...
My mom's old. We don't fucking care. That's a bike race.
Yeah.
You
want her to die.
Exactly. Yeah. It was so bad. And now Tour de the
Bloom
race I can't mention. Yeah, well, we can do it. Is Mother's Day weekend.
Yep.
It's Mother's Day weekend.
I have not raced.
You can't do that.
Or done anything cycling oriented on Mother's Day since 1996. I don't know if I could do it again.
And I know the people. I know there are people who are listening to this show right now who are going to bust our balls, collective balls, and say, oh, just take your wife there and
yeah,
take her up before or after. And I'm just going, do you have a happy marriage?
Yeah.
Do you understand the importance of this day? I mean, Father's Day? Fuck it. I mean, it just give me a T-shirt and let me cook a steak.
Yeah.
But Mother's Day is a big deal.
Yeah.
And you just don't do that.
Happy Mother's Day. You watch me have fun and do what I want to do and just sit and get bored to tears. Because Mother's Day is actually will be a road race in Waterville.
Oh, it's a
it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. Yeah. So I'm not doing that either. Yeah. Jay, do you have any? There are some one-off days, too. Some volunteer parks, some races over by Jack's place. Jack.
Yeah. You know, he's there right now.
He is.
In fact, right now he's watching his kid's football game.
No. Oh, there we go.
Like I said a couple weeks ago, I think it'd be pretty cool if we all went and raced in Portland, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When does that series start? Is it a spring or is it just summer months?
It is a July month. Or is it, it's either June and July or July type of races.
Okay.
And they are high quality, high intensity, flying races. Even the Cat 4s.
Did you ever do PIR?
I did not. Mm-hmm. They were around when we were in California and when I had already left.
Ah.
So I just did Tabor, which I prefer Mount Tabor over like a flat crit any day.
He just lost us on Mount.
Mount.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you go uphill? Count me
on. I don't know about that.
Yeah
exactly. Yeah. So, okay. Good to know. Okay. Mm-hmm. I keep looking over at my live feed stuff and the cameras keep kicking out. So hopefully everything's working. If not, you're listening to this on a recorded version, right? Because everything shit the bed, and you know I just keep spending money on stuff to make everything work, and keep shitting the bed. So in the meantime, should we check the headlines? Yeah, let's check the headlines.
Work, you sons of bitches!
Cat 4 Kettner.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Don't need that. Panda watch. story number one, everybody. Let's see here. Okay. I'm not going to do it that. I'm going to do a couple things really quick on my Wi-Fi because something seems to be happening and it's telling me that everything's going to hopefully be fine. And I don't know. I'm doing all kinds of shit while I'm trying to control a podcast. Fingers crossed for Cav is our first story. Mark Cavendish has said at the start of his 2022 season might be disrupted after his Ghent 6-day crash and resulting injuries, but noted that he hopes to be back on the bike within a few weeks. The Manxman, who suffered two broken ribs, had a punctured lung and a crash on the final night of the famous track event last week, described the crash and the aftermath in an interview on Saturday. Speaking to the Sun newspaper, he said that his first instinct was after hitting the deck was to stand up to show his children who were in attendance that he was okay. He added that he hopes to be back training soon. So I guess what happened is he got right back up, walked off into one of his secure spaces, and then lied down and was like, I fucking punctured a lung.
I can't breathe.
I need to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good dad. So did you guys see that? Did anybody catch that crash at all?
I didn't watch it live, but of course I saw the clip.
I've seen the footage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, have Jackson, mm-hmm. you have a chance. Why do track crashes always look far worse than any other form of
racing? No brakes and your legs are still in motion and you're going down.
Do you think that's just it? Or is it just the viewing angle we get on it or something like that?
Well, they're on the embankment or, you know, so you're not looking just like...
Yeah.
Horizontally, they're usually kicked up, so you see, like, you know,
you get the view
it's like
of
you're
the
on
whole
stage,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's a perfect rake of the stage, and you get to see the bodies just sliding all over the place. It's just horrible.
Water on the track.
Yeah, is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. Oh. So they don't know where it came from, but for the first time on the Ghent 6-day, that they had no beer. So, this is a lesson. No beer was served there because of COVID, of course. That was the deal. So usually the infield, the people don't even, they're too busy getting drunk instead of spilling water on the track, I'm assuming.
So tell me, And Jackson, you're forgiven. No, it's just in terms of knowledge, honesty about what a 6-day race is. I'm going to confess, I don't truly know enough about 6-day racing to know, to be able to express what it is. It sounds like, oh, they're just racing for 6 days. That would be hell. That would be a fucking nightmare. Paul, do you know the concept or the premise behind it?
It's a series of races that have partners. I'm not a trackie by any means,
yeah,
but I know a little bit about it because there was beer involved. And
fair enough.
And it's in Belgium.
Yeah.
You know, the Ghent one is famous. That track is like 100 and it's not even like a 220 or 210 or whatever they're doing. It's a shorter track. It's almost all in banks.
Oh, shit.
So, but everybody has a partner. I think there's different events, you know, for 6 days. There's accumulated score. But, you know, I would go for, I mean, there's usually typically a band and it's a festival. It's like it gets people out from their homes and meet and listen to music.
You would go if there was opportunities. Would you go if there are opportunities in the States?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That whole idea, and I remember reading years ago about, you know, 6 days, I thought, man, it would be so great to have one,
yeah,
a track here in Spokane, because that would just get people involved with cycling in some way or another. That, you know, we talk about crits, same thing.
Yeah.
You have a purpose that, I don't know, alcohol doesn't have to be involved, but it certainly, you know, seems to draw more people if it's a dry type of event.
Sure.
And the bands and stuff, and you look at, like, what Tulsa Tough has done. You know, it is a festival, and you make it a festival for 6 days. Only the Belgians can drink for 6 days straight.
Oh, man.
On 10% alcohol.
Yeah.
Beers, so. but, yeah, it sounds interesting. It'd be something, it, you know, I would like to see someday. I'd like to see a Belgian cyclocross race. Kortrijk, I think. I've seen enough. I think that would be good. Or a 6 day.
Madison Square Garden at one point in time had a track.
This was the hotbed.
Yeah.
Well, United States was a hotbed because of the Madison Square Garden. And then it turned into cars came in and no one wanted to ride a bike and kind of died away.
I think, you know, especially for our limited sense of attention span, mm-hmm, here in the United States, instant results, instant reactions. I think it would be like a crit race. But like you say, mm-hmm, there's a band, there's food, there's beer, mm-hmm, there's wine, there's screaming. I think it'd be just
a blast.
Ideal. Mm-hmm. Ideal. Am I the only one who's raced a track in this room?
I've got a lot of experience, actually.
You do?
Yeah. I thought I'd let you guys know.
You're a Madison expert.
Yeah.
You're the hand slings and everything like that. So,
no, I've never raced a day on the track.
Do you guys have any desire to do so?
I did in the day.
Yeah.
There was a guy here in town, Chris Vogel, who was actually would go to the Olympic trials and stuff. And he, you know, you have to be certified to actually race. Mm-hmm. So another guy... God, what was his name?
You don't have to be certified if you just started doing it in the 80s.
Yeah, I know.
You're safe. You're
but
like
I mean,
me.
you do a track course and, you know.
Yeah.
And you always know the roadies, they used to say at Marymore, is because at the line they would throw a bike. You don't throw a bike with fixed gear.
Yeah.
You're going to break a collarbone.
Yeah.
Skull bong. Yeah. Roadie. There he goes sliding down the track.
Yeah. I remember I was the first person on Marymore with look pedals.
They didn't like that back then.
I almost
then.
Got in trouble for it.
Yeah. Because you separate from your bike.
Yeah, I was getting some looks. The great Phil Miller was looking at me going, oh man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, I also raced track once in sneakers because I forgot my cycling shoes. My dad made me race in them. In terms of time, story number two, here comes the boom. The organizers of the Super Prestige in Boom.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe so.
Yeah. Have confirmed the race will go ahead amid the latest COVID-19 restrictions in Belgium after some confusion over his starting contract. Tom Pidcock, Jackson, there you go, will be on the line along with Wout van Aert, both making their season debuts. COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations are surging. Belgium imposed new restrictions last week, leading Antwerp World Cup organizers Galazzo to call off Sunday's event. However, the Super Prestige organizers will proceed with their race in Boom, less than 20K away from Antwerp. That just sounds very interesting and politically motivated, depending on your side of the coin there.
I think this is a litigious
situation. Yeah. So here we go again. COVID thoughts and predictions, and especially when it looks like in terms of the fact that we here in the United States have a gigantic carrot on the horizon for our chase. We have the World Championships. Are there any fears, or I guess I'm looking for optimistic or pessimistic predictions in terms of whether or not we're going to have a really cool World Championships here in a few months. I don't know who wants to go first, because personally I'm thinking we're fucked. But anyway.
Well, I think for a sporting event, I think the athletes themselves are being so heavily looked upon that I know that they'll probably, I don't, knock on wood, I hope to predict that they won't be the ones bringing anything here, but I can't make the prediction.
I wonder if they're going to be able to even travel here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say, on the Pidcock and Wout side of it all, part of me wonders when's Vanderpool going to show up, or if Vanderpool is going to show up. And I think slowly but surely my prediction of last year is coming true, that Vanderpool is going, screw cyclocross, screw the off-road stuff. I can do something on the road here. Yeah. I can win a Worlds on the road. So I don't know if we're going to see as much of Vanderpool in the next coming years. It's, I don't know.
He did announce that he is. I think his first event is on the 26th.
Oh, so he's going to do something.
He's doing cyclocross. And if you watch GCN, their show today, mm-hmm. that was posted,
he's going to have to make it his
It's
focus.
A good Daniel Lloyd, they're at that Zwift Academy thing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And they asked him 19 questions while he was on doing Zwift. And one of the questions is, what's your favorite event? If you had to choose between road, cross, or mountain. And he took a while. And he picked mountain bike.
No shit. Yeah,
wow. That's his favorite.
Wow.
Well, he's got to remember the ramp's not there. So.
Yeah.
Then he'll be good at it.
Yeah. I like mountain biking when the ramp is there. Yeah. Okay.
Did you want me to take my side of
it? Yes, I do. I'm just looking at time.
So I think, because my wife and I have been trying to get over to see her family over in Germany. Since COVID hit. I mean, 2020 was a wash. And then this year, talking to her aunt over there, they're actually, Germany, which is, I found strange, has less vaccination than the United States.
Really?
But getting over there, even before this last little variant that slowed everything down, the trouble for an American is getting back.
Yeah.
And that is a 14. You have to be tested. If you're positive, even if you're vaccinated, it's 10 or 14 days of quarantine.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for us, it's like, my wife, I'm going to say it right now, she's vaccinated and popped positive, asymptomatic. That was a couple of shows back. I had to Zoom. And I wasn't going to, because I live with a lady, I'm not going to possibly drink, bring it around and poison everybody else. But those are the things that, what would happen if we were positive? We don't have the money or saved enough vacation time for us to get back. So I think for people traveling from Belgium and Holland, or the Netherlands, excuse me, that are coming over, they'll, going into the United States, they'll have to be tested, and it'll be okay going into a country. It depends on what country, but it's usually a test, like a day before on that flight. If you're negative, then you can go in. So,
this Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's a little easier to go into Europe than coming to the United States. So I think they're going to be fine. United States, you know, I was at a basketball game, GU basketball game. I've seen all the home games so far, and that place is packed, and we all wear masks, and that's it keeps going. Not, I shouldn't say we all wear masks. There's a few people aren't wearing masks.
Yeah.
But we're still rolling around, so going forward. So I'm saying it's going to work. It's going to work.
I hope it works.
Yeah.
I really do. I think this is such a, oh God, please don't let it get fucked up.
Yeah. I think the thing is I think this is although as small as cyclocross is to the United States, which probably 10% of the people know what that is. Even cyclists don't even know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a way to show off. It is a way to show off America to those European countries that are tuning in. So I think there's some people involved that would be working hard to make sure it does happen.
Yeah.
So
I will say on the cycling side of things, I think we might be looking at the first year we don't see Matthew Vanderpool leaving in the rainbow bands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's either going to be Pidcock or Wout van Aert this year.
You don't think he's just going to come out of nowhere and surprise you? Well, but who's been? Iserbyt has been crushing it. So
Tunarts.
Do you think? Yeah, mm-hmm. I would love to see Tunarts do it just because.
I like that guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, these poor guys.
Iserbyt is a good guy too. He doesn't know how to drink a Quermont beer. Well, he had one a cyclocross and he had this big huge goblet of Quermont beer and he took a drink and there's a picture.
Oh, been no.
Running out of his nose, and so he's Belgian. You'd think he would know how to drink that stuff.
Yeah, isn't that in the DNA?
Yeah, it should. Oh my God. Should be.
Oh my God. Okay, you guys, I got to switch gears in terms of training, and not in terms of training, in terms of time. I was reading my copy ahead of myself. Our topic of the show, I want to talk to you guys about training fads, all right? And this comes from a little perspective from a news story that has been just released just recently. In case you guys didn't know, Peloton has halted hiring across all departments effective immediately during an all-hands meeting on Friday. This is according to CNBC. The news comes a day after Peloton slashed its full-year outlook amid slowing momentum for its fitness products. Okay, it wasn't immediately clear on how long the hiring freeze is going to last, but Peloton's management team has hinted to analysts during a conference call Thursday that it would be making cost cuts in the near future to realign with its sluggish revenue and user growth. It dropped 35% on Friday, wiping off more than $9 billion of its market value. Shares have dropped about 63%. Year to date. This is for Peloton. The company saw rapid growth in 2020 as consumers took on to stay-at-home lifestyles during the pandemic. Peloton invested heavily to meet the demand. It acquired Precor. I don't know if you guys remember Precor. Another fitness equipment manufacturer for $420 million and also invested heavily in air freight to speed deliveries from overseas, yada, yada, yada. So basically, I guess we start with thoughts on Peloton. Thoughts on that. Before I want to get into it being a fad or not, thoughts on its longevity. What do you think the reasons were for the drop? And is it just a fad? Is Peloton something like this? I've never done it, so I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But you know, it is a cycling based workout.
something that I think about it is that, first of all, it never really picked a market. You know, it did, like, the reason why, like, Wahoo is so successful, or Tax, or all these other trainer companies, is because they pick a market. You know, cyclists that want to train hard and train for the summer, or just want to keep fit.
Yeah.
That's like, that is a market, you know? But I think what they tried to capitalize on was the whole, like, SoulCycle type of environment that they were really trying to capitalize on. But the thing with SoulCycle is that there's a community to that. Everybody's in there together. We're doing this. You got this, guys.
Yeah.
And there's that atmosphere. The lights are dim. There's something about it. But then with this, at like, when you're staying home, it's in your own. I mean, yeah, you are staying home, but it's not that environment. You aren't in a group together. And so it's tough, because when you try and, like, focus so hard on a group of people that are, like, such a community, it will eventually fizzle, because it is just a solo thing. And it's tough because it's a subscription service too.
Yeah.
So eventually, when they go bankrupt, or if they go bankrupt, and everybody's got these Pelotons, they're not making new videos. Like,
they're live classes though. Yeah, so
it's like, yeah, some of them are live classes, some of them are like these, like, pretty much like a system workout.
Sure.
But what happens when they don't make anymore? What happens when they're not new anymore? They're just the same thing over and over. Then it just kind of becomes a redundant thing. I mean, we're seeing with rowing now, rowing machines are the new fad, and they're like the new Peloton, but they're rowers. So it's like, I don't know. It was a great idea in the moment, but I think they definitely took advantage of the hype around it at the moment.
In COVID.
Yeah. 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 It was a great COVID invention, if you think about it.
Paul, got any insight?
I can't argue any of those points. And I think, just to take it a little further, I think the big point is that they really, it was a general public, you know, interest that to get on this. And the trend for spin, you know, workouts have been a big thing. Now you could do it at your home. My parents bought, you remember the Nordic Track?
Oh, sure.
All those things take up so much space. The next thing you know, there's clothes drying on it. It's like, that's all it is.
Yeah.
All indoor, even weights. People who buy weights, they have a tendency. If you have, like you said, a community, there's a sense of obligation. You get to know the people and you're going to that.
That guilt.
Yeah. And then that's like, you know, they're going to say, hey, Paul, I didn't see you last week. Well, you know, pulled a hamstring, or you know, but you feel obligated. But if you have no, you know, skin in the game, it's like, I already paid for it. It's just sitting there. Yeah. I don't have to do it. I'll do it tomorrow. Just like a diet, like anything that's fad oriented, will stay away from it for right now. But I think that's their problem, is that they didn't have a target. They just like get everybody. And of course, we're wishing as cyclists that maybe get more people in cyclists, you know, become cyclists. Maybe it did a few, but it's not fun working indoors, working out indoors.
Does Zwift fall under the same potential category? See, that's my bigger, that's why
I think not, for the simple fact that it's targeting. Yeah. Like you said, they're hardcore cyclists. There's a few people that are like coming into it and they're getting some kind of huge reward because they're, you know, they're beating so-and-so or doing these races that there is, it's game, it's activated, as opposed to being listening. It's like being preached to. Come on, stand up, spin. You know, that type of thing. It's like you're in control of your own destiny.
Yeah.
You know?
I think what's also really smart that Zwift did is, one, I think that there's such a nerdy side to cycling. Like, we all get into the gear. We all get into the equipment. And so does Zwift. You can pick your bike, your wheels, your shoes. You can pick all that stuff for yourself, so you can look completely different from everybody else, or the same. And so on Peloton, we're all in this together, but cycling has that individuality, that look at how flashy I can get, that Peloton didn't have. And I think that's really smart. And that gaming aspect of Zwift is also super interesting, because it draws in the gamers of cycling as well. It's its own weird niche, and they just perfected it.
Yeah.
Well, you can look at the advertisement.
Yeah.
You've seen a Zwift, you know, advertisement. Who's on it?
They've got the pros.
Geraint Thomas.
Matthew
Vanderpool.
Yeah,
I mean, all the people we recognize, you know, no one else does it. And then Peloton, what do they have? Is some guy wondering where his wife is, and she hears moaning, and she's not. He thinks, oh, my God, it's and then she's working out on the machine. I mean, it's for the general public. Not that it's a bad thing, but it just reiterates what
one we're would
saying.
Think that something addressed to a larger audience would just flat out guaranteed be more of a successful concept. Okay, I've got Peloton. This is released to the entire global population. Just in terms of what's the word? Demographic. It would be more successful. But when you're talking about the amount of money that is invested into something like Peloton versus the amount of money versus invested into something like Zwift. I mean, I don't know the dollars that Zwift has put into it, but I'm assuming it's obviously, you know, they didn't have to buy out other companies. They didn't have to necessarily invest in major shipping and industry costs like that. I mean, and the great thing about it, you have to admit, with Zwift is you buy your trainer from somebody like Wahoo. You buy this, you buy that from somebody else. You buy an Apple TV from Apple. You buy this from them. They are capitalizing upon stuff you may hopefully already have.
And what another thing I was thinking about is it's like, this is such like a specific public that like that Zwift targets. Because like we're willing to spend like a lot of money just so we can like ride indoors.
Yeah.
Because you know like, Is some random ass person from like Milwaukee, for instance, gonna wanna buy a Wahoo fan because they're hot during their Peloton session? No.
Yeah.
Because it's I don't know, it seems not specific enough of a product.
And to reiterate that too, my wife has a friend who's moved up from San Diego. She's a fellow nurse. She's a travel nurse right now, but she bought a 29er, kind of like a touring bike, but be, you know, that type of thing. And she fell in love with it. She bought it in midsummer, and it's like, now what do I do? You know, it's dark when I get home from work. You know, so she goes, could you help me find a trainer? And she goes, I don't want anything. I don't care about plugging into anything. You know, to her, like Zwift,
you're
could
like,
be the next
four
thing.
Sets of rollers in the basement. You're good.
Exactly. So anyway, I found her one, and we're trying to find a training tire for a 29er. It's kind of hard.
Oh, bet. Shit.
Yeah, so.
Believe it or not, I have one for a 26.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Old school. It's on my wife's bike.
You know, that's the type of person. If you get a cyclist, they're apt to, I bet you anything, if she saw Zwift, right now she's just so new into it. Mm-hmm. But if she really continues on, I mean, she, you know how, like, you got bit by the bug just in the last couple of years, and you it's still fresh in my mind when you start racing or whatever. It's just like that's on your mind all the time. It's pretty close to what that is for her right now.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, she didn't want to race, but she just, like, loves to ride her bike. So,
And not to get too far into the weeds on this.
No, no. This is fine.
But, I mean, for instance, I think Zwift is such, a special tool because, like, my girlfriend, who a year or two years ago, was never really into cycling. I mean, for instance, she was always like, she kind of fought it a little bit. She was like, you know, I don't know if that sounds fun to me. And then like a thing like Zwift comes along to where you don't have to leave your house. You don't have to be cold. You don't have to kit up. You don't have to do all that stuff. And you can just stay there and you can practically get the exact same, like not exact same ride experience, but you can hit a hill and it feels like a hill.
Yeah.
Like what, where else do you find that? Like, that's such an interesting thing. You're not going to find that on your old stationary bike. You're never going to find that unless you increase the resistance. Like, this is such a cool and special piece of technology that really isn't in any other market. I mean, running can't do it.
So what separates a fad from a fixture? I put down two words, sustainability and innovation.
Yeah.
How could somebody, a company like, and I want to talk about Peloton and Zwift, and I also want to talk about System and what Wahoo and the Sufferfest have done in terms of innovation and sustain and maintaining sustainability. What do they need to do in your vision, in your our consumer based perspectives as cyclists? What would they need to do to continue on or to build? Let's start with Peloton. What would a company like Peloton need to do? What are they neglecting right now, Or have they just invested way too much and they're too far into the dark, into the hole to mm-hmm. dig themselves out of it?
See, it's so tough with Peloton because it's like, I mean, first of all, for the ones that know, Peloton is such a specific word. Mm-hmm. If you take it anywhere out of the realm of like cycling, then it's no longer the essence of what it originally was.
Oh, and they
was.
Ruin the word for us, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, are we yeah. still going to use it? Of course.
But, yeah.
But like, it's difficult. If they make like a treadmill, it's no longer Peloton. It's what else is it? You know, and I think they really went hard on their bike, but then you get the bike, but what else can you add? And we as consumers want to add all the time. And so it's like, oh, great. Now I'm stuck.
Sure.
And so they can't really go anywhere. They can make weights. They can make water bottles and stuff like that. But what else can they do? And so I think ultimately they just went so hard in on this bike that they kind of pigeonholed themselves.
That's a great, interesting perspective.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I think, you know, too, the thing is Zwift is – like you mentioned, Pat, about, you know, they don't have a lot of hardware like involvement, so that cost is kind of out there. So they can take their what they're going to invest to create new interests, is new courses and new, and they'll be able to like fine tune
new
and
worlds. And
there's something else that came out. There's a couple of more things that you can do on Zwift that. They're changing their new, like when you get on, it'll describe what course you're doing and how many, a little more detail and user friendly. So, you know, they're able to put it into the software where that's where it really comes into to play. Well, what can you do with Peloton? I mean, you have a screen in front of you and there's somebody cheering you on that will get dry after a while, you know?
And
that's, I think that's what's happening. It's just people like, you know, it's so high energy that, you know, at a certain point, you just don't. I don't feel like somebody's shouting at me, go harder, stand up, pedal backwards. I don't know.
Makes me think of aerobics in the 80s. It makes me think of Zumba. It makes me think of what are some of the other, you know,
jazzercise,
fitness based fads, and hence my term, that have come and gone. Spinning. Spinning was the first thing. Schwinn did spinning, and that was the huge thing. And now we have hot indoor cycling where the weather's the humidity's turned up, or we have the lights out, or we have all those types of things. And they're trying to reinvent or keep things going, but in essence it is still a matter of catering to a larger populace that is not that diehard group that is going to come and go. I don't, as a cyclist, I don't want necessarily somebody yelling at me what to do. I've been doing the Sufferfest for probably a good portion of your life, Jackson.
Yes.
And this is where I want to talk about innovation, because they keep adding new videos, because they keep adding yoga, they keep adding strength, they're adding things like that, which I can only imagine is a gigantic cost, keeping things going like that. Now, the great thing about Wahoo System, I keep calling it Sufferfest, it's not that anymore, it's System, they have the ability to create workouts with people like Neil Henderson based upon a, you know, just using stock footage, which they have to purchase the rights to, from existing bike races. So there's never going to not be television footage for them to create a workout to. So as long as you have coaches who are willing to create workouts and you're catering to a specific piece of the pie, you're not trying to grab the whole pie, because the whole pie is flaky. Wow, I did a flaky crust.
Flaky crust.
I didn't need
Which is desirable on a pie, but
it
not
is,
so much
not
when you have
when
a business.
You're dealing with people.
No,
yeah.
No.
And,
very
yeah.
bad.
And so I keep thinking about what Zwift is going to need to do to, and so I'm bringing it more personal to us here in the cycling industry. I'm never going to buy a Wahoo kicker bike for $3,500.
No,
I'm never going to buy a Watt bike. I'm never going to buy, you know, some of these things like that. But I will always hop on my trainer in the middle of winter. And the fact that I can now ride in a virtual world with other people, except Paul, and do these types of things and have this availability is never going to be something that's going to go away. If anything, it's given me more motivation to ride during the winter.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, would you think about purchasing the Wahoo bike? Because that you can actually...
The kicker bike,
yeah. You can actually create the hoods, the shifting, yeah, exactly to match, mm-hmm, whether it's Shimano or SRAM or, you know, that type of thing. You can dial in 175 cranks, 172
yeah,
fives.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to buy a stationary bike, that one makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
You're going to get it really dialed in.
But
you're
to be 1,000% honest, if I until they tell me that riding on a Wahoo kicker is detrimental to my carbon fiber frame,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
no fucking way.
Yeah.
Because my bike is fit to me. Thanks, Bike Fit Sam. Sheesh. My bike is fit to me. I don't need to worry about paying $3,500 for a bike. I can hop on my own bike and be comfortable as hell, unhook it, go for a ride with you, put it back on. It's filthy right now on the trainer.
You're supposed to wash it when we get home.
I'm supposed to wash it when I get home. I know I was, but I didn't. And but you know, I'm no offense to Wahoo, who's a show sponsor. I'm not going to spend $3,500 on that. I'm going to buy new wheels.
I'm going to counter that because my bike is precious, and if I had to spend an extra, a Wahoo kicker bike,
mm-hmm,
for $3,000, $3,500,
yeah,
and preserve my bike, you know, because the wear and tear on that, because pretty soon I'm going to have to buy a stupid disc brake bike, and I'm trying to I'm trying to push it back as far as I can. So, I mean, if I was going to spend, you know, to me, that makes more money than like the core or even the kicker. I mean, that's another couple of grand more, I understand. Yeah. But if I had a bike room that, listen, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, realize in Spokane by mid-October, I have to
I'm
be
inside.
Indoors.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I want to keep that fitness, this is what I got to have to do. To me, that's a good investment because that systems, we talked about it, the Wahoo systems, I like it better than Zwift.
Yeah.
You know how... I'm not into cartoons. I'm not into playing games. I'd rather not be indoors, but if I'm indoors, then I have a selective. And with systems, they have GCN, and I actually like some of their, they don't have all the GCN plugged in,
mm-hmm, yeah,
but they have a couple of them, which makes sense to me, the way they're trained, you know, or the way they're set up, their format. And then they have, like, where I can watch Sunday in Hell.
Yeah.
And you can
I'm
do that, and it's like
I'm doing that this weekend.
Yeah.
It's on my training program.
An hour 46.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, those are the things that it's different to me. It's way more entertaining than chasing a cartoon or even on my rollers, which I'll do touch occasionally now.
Yeah.
Just because, boy, on a static trainer, you pick up some bad habits. And
you do.
Yeah. Sunday's ride, I'm like, what is wrong with you? I'm like square.
Anyway. And they do have the option where, let's say I've seen a Sunday in Hell so many times I don't want to watch it anymore. Mm-hmm. I can change the display is. Yeah, but I can change the display so it's minimized and I can watch something else on my screen while the workout still plays underneath.
Mm-hmm. So and with Erg mode, it's always going to be at that level.
Yeah.
Well, I think something that's really special about like these companies is that actually, you know, I was talking with somebody over the weekend about kind of a similar topic. But if you've ever heard of the GTA or Grand Theft Auto series, it's a funny comparison. But the parent company that makes all of these is called Rockstar Games. And ultimately, we were trying to figure out, like, what has Rockstar really done? They've made Red Dead Redemption and they've made Grand Theft Auto.
And
they are like a very wealthy gaming company, because you want to know how many Grand Theft Autos there have been. There have been 5, and like ultimately that's not that many in the grand scheme of things. And Grand Theft Auto 5 has been out for I can't name how many years. It's been out for so long, but they just keep doing more and more and more. They're adding everything you can.
Wow.
The entire city of LA is on that game, but people keep buying it. And why is that? Is because they don't have to change anything. They just have to make more in that game. Mm-hmm. It's the same with Zwift. They don't, like, ultimately...
Do the hookers get more expensive as the game goes?
They could. I don't know. But ultimately, Zwift does the same thing. They don't. It's the essence is the same. I could imagine from the beta.
Yeah.
Testers.
Oh yeah.
It's really just the same thing, but the worlds are bigger. Things are like they've added
more. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. System. It's the same thing from when it was originally the first Sufferfest, but the technology's different. They just grow and grow and grow. They don't have to change because they have picked such a specific market that they
you're
know
never
that
gonna,
they're,
you're never going to lose that group.
Exactly.
It's winter somewhere.
Yeah. They know like money's coming in no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's a smart idea, I think.
Well, I think that's, you know, cycling too. I mean, that's what Zwift is really focused on. Getting back, going full circle now. Zwift
does have a running community.
Yes, they do.
Technology's not there yet, but no. Yeah. But, you know.
But it'll get there, you know, I'm sure. You know, and same with systems, Wahoo Systems. To them, they have a true target that they can get good feedback as the general public. Again, Grand Theft Auto, there's probably a hardcore following.
Yeah.
And a few people are like, that's still around? What's this about? And get hooked.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of slowly grow as opposed to a big punch, you know, knockout punch.
Mm-hmm. Try to.
And try and get you like, and we made our money and then everybody's okay, the party's over, now what? You know, and I think that's what's happening to Peloton.
Unless they go into rowing, which has already been taken. Yeah, rowing's a new thing.
Well, yeah.
It already.
And it'll go, we've seen this before. Rowing was, when ergs came out, remember when there was a series
Concept
of ergs
twos.
That came out?
Yeah.
They were awesome. Everybody had to have one.
In college.
And the next thing you know, they were hanging, people are drying their clothes on them.
Yeah.
Down in their basement.
Oh, yeah. I've got an elliptical and a treadmill.
See?
Upstairs.
There you go.
The fads.
Yeah. That both hold
Same
clothing.
Old thing. Yeah. When it's in your house, there is a problem. There is some people that do have the discipline.
Yeah.
I think you have to go to a place where you have people that are, yoga for me, I was way more consistent when I went to a studio.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Now that I thought, well, I've done it for 3 years. I know what I'm doing. But it's like, I'll do it when I come home. You know, and I'm not. There's no.
It's so easy to just blow it off. Yeah. It's so easy to blow it off. Yeah. Okay. I hope we solved the problem there. I don't think we did, but I hope we at least expressed our pain in the ass opinions about a problem. So the fun part now for the show, part one of the Pack Filler Holiday Gift Guide. You notice it's on red paper. That wasn't actually
very
that.
Christmas.
I would love to say that's intentional, but I just ran out of paper in my printer, so that's all I had was some cardstock. Red paper. Brought to you by our friends at Competitive Cyclists. People, you know, you prefer the LBS, right? We all do. But sometimes supplies are low. Sometimes the LBS just doesn't carry that specific item, let alone your size, clothing, for instance. We prefer the Competitive Cyclist if you need to get it now. Use the link at packfiller.com to show your love whilst getting what you need. So part one of the gift guide, I put an assignment out to the boys today. Stocking stuffers. We're gonna take our gift guide all the way through to the last show before Christmas, and you guys can all find out our personal opinions on what you think, and you can tell us we're full of shit. And by the way, we're gonna judge each other's choices on a scale of yep, nope, or I guess. You know, it's kind of like when you open it up, your friend's like, "Yay, I gotta insert blank here," or "I gotta blank," or "Fuck, Grandma got me another," you know, some one of those other, you know. So, yay, no, or all right, okay. So, we're starting right now in the lowest price scale. Stocking stuffers, gifts under $50. Okay, I know that's expensive, but gifts under $50. We're in the cycling world. Everything's fucking expensive. Yeah. For friends who ride, for the office gift exchange that you actually plan to choose your own gift, or flat out for yourself. So each of us have done the homework. We will share our insights and stuff to get. So we are looking for 5 items each of 50 and under. So I guess we should just go like our first, our second, our third.
Sure.
Some of us are going to share probably ideas and we might cancel each other out. I found some of mine not to, you know, plug the sponsor too heavily on Competitive Cyclist. They had a Competitive Cyclist, a stocking stuffer page. So I just kind of picked and choose from there which ones I think were cool. Mm-hmm. And you guys can judge from there. So for example, I'll go first because, you know.
Time out.
Yeah.
As soon as I finished with my list, I realized, am I purchasing this for who?
Because things when you would want, probably.
Well, I would want. Okay.
Stuffer. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
We'll soon find out, obviously, my direction. It was for me, apparently.
Okay. So, okay. No, that's cool.
Because the people in this, there's going to be a few people in this. Why in the fuck would I do with
well,
that?
Well, that's so, what's fun anyway. Is the other, the two of us can go,
well, I felt
no,
a little,
I wouldn't
I,
fucking
I guess
want
I'm
that.
I'm trying to exercise the demons of my guilt. Is like, God, I'm selfish because this is all what I want.
No, that's what we're
but
doing.
I guess that's Christmas.
Yeah. And
isn't
we're
it?
Sharing yeah. we're sharing our greed okay. for everybody else to experience. And okay. if they would agree with us,
gotcha.
You know, so they
gotcha.
Could tell other
gotcha.
People, hey, if you're putting something in my stocking, for all example, right. put in the Wahoo Ticker heart rate monitor. Now for $39.99 right now. ANT and Bluetooth. That mm-hmm. sucker could pick up your heart rate from everything. I personally would be jazzed, even though I have my Whoop strap, which I'm still waiting for those fuckers to send me the new ones. I'm not letting them off the hook. I'm now 2 to 3 weeks out on my ship. But anyway, I won't vent.
I've got one of those. So
yeah, exactly. So the Wahoo one.
Yeah.
My,
I had to.
Yeah. So $39.99. Yep. Nope. Or I guess Jackson.
Yep, because I was looking at that.
Were you? You're seriously thinking about it. Yeah. Paul?
I would have poo-pooed it, but now that I have it.
Now you have it. Yeah. So, okay, there. I got two yeps. So yep. Who wants to go next for their first item?
I picked, because the body at my age is really important, the trigger point Grind X foam roller.
Ooh.
That's $49.99.
Wow.
That,
yep.
That right there, Clark,
oh,
is
man,
a high quality.
Yes,
yeah.
That is. Yeah.
Nothing like a roller when you hit one of those bad spots. You're like, oh,
yeah. I need one for my back.
In fact, I was thinking about ordering it after
just
I saw
regardless.
That.
Yeah.
So, just saying.
Jackson, first item.
Okay, I'm starting off. You know, I'm not going to preface it. I will say a nice tub of chamois butter Euro-style cream. For $19.99.
I would have loved to have heard your reasoning for choosing that. But
well, I was going to say first is the worst, you know?
Yeah.
We got to start off the worst.
Yeah.
So. I would say, yep. Yeah, I didn't chamois cream until probably within the last 5-6 years.
I used to because I had Osos and they had real chamois in there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you wash it, it was like sandpaper if you yeah. didn't. So, and I've always used it just for even with synthetic stuff with longer rides. I don't do it on mm-hmm. short rides.
Yeah, I didn't until that's I started getting into longer stuff where mm-hmm. I'm doing 100 yeah. something like yeah. that, especially yeah. gravel. Oh, fuck. You bounce around your ass all the time. It hurts like hell. Okay, so we got three yeps on our first one.
Perfect.
My second item, and I swear I'm not kissing up, the Scratch Labs Feed Zone Cookbook. It's got all kinds of stuff, little rice cakes, mm-hmm. All kinds of egg stuff like that. I mean, I would be happy if that was in my
price,
stocking.
Please.
Oh, $24.95, half price, under the mm-hmm. $50. Yep or nope?
Absolutely, I have it. I've had the whole series.
You do?
That particular one I use more than the others.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jackson, as somebody who kind of cooks,
as somebody who rarely cooks.
Okay. I didn't want to insult you.
Well, you know, I'll open it up. Okay. Let everybody know that
I'll
do
confess.
Not. Yeah. But yeah, I think that is a thing that I need to start doing, and I would really like to do it through a company that I'm familiar with.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I'll plug it a little bit. The rice bars are fantastic.
Yeah.
You can
they
do
are.
Savory, sweet Belgian waffle recipe. I've
haven't
used
done
them.
That yet.
I have several times. I have a waffle maker and everything. It is the closest thing I've tasted. There's a small little company that's going to open it up. Well, they were, well, they're still there.
Yeah.
The Scoop, they used to do waffles.
Yep.
It's Hidden Bagel. They do a Belgian waffle there. So
in the same location?
They're expanded out. It used to be a beauty salon. And
they're
going to
start
it's called the Hidden Bagel.
They're doing waffles there?
Coffee and bagels.
Oh,
and,
thank God. Yeah.
Meeting place.
Yeah.
Meeting place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
Holy
so,
shit, yeah.
But that, and then also they have this porridge, like breakfast porridge, which has rice, leftover cooked rice, and an egg, and some milk, and banana, and cinnamon, anti-inflammatory. Seriously, that is the book to buy. Good choice.
Good. That's yeah, it's really close to
yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
okay.
buy that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. There we go. Mm-hmm. Paul, who was second? Was Jackson or Paul was second?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went with, because not only for cycling, I love wool socks. My wife knits them. So I went with the Juro HR Plus Merino Wool Socks. For $24.95, I got two pair.
Two pair?
Yeah. You picked it too?
Did you pick that too?
Wow. I really, really like the same exact thing as Paul does.
Yeah.
And he's got a picture
in the Uribe blue.
In the Uribe blue. So that's a yep.
Yeah,
obviously. Two
and
pair
you?
Of those. I would go with that. I would say yep to that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Can never have enough good pair of cycling socks.
And they wick moisture like none other. Yeah, like they like if I wear I
summer
will,
even? Even summer?
Yeah.
Yep. I will
summer even.
Oh yeah. I will say when I wear my Velotoe shoe covers, I can't wear anything but wool because my feet'll get all not to be gross.
Clammy.
Sweaty, yeah. Clammy.
Yeah. Gooey.
Wow. Gooey, that's an
I made
interesting
it
word.
I made it gross.
That's, you took
that's
it
a
very
one
step.
I'm cool with that. I went too far.
One
I went
step dirty.
Yeah. I went too far. So that was your second. My third is, and I seriously went generic on this. If I walked in Christmas morning, reached into my stocking, and I found five brand new Longstand tubes for $8 a piece, there's no way I would say, oh, damn.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like, that's a generic gift that somebody just went, fuck it, Pat Tubes. He's going to need them. Kidding me? Five tubes, long stem. I don't care if they're
what manufacturer
light shit or anything like that. I think I saw they had Specialized tubes for $8 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
So $40.
Yeah.
I would be like, yes. So you can't say nope to that.
Long stem.
Unless you're fully
tubed. Well, I would. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So I would say, well, what? I'd be given, if I those were in my stockings, I would say, hey, Pat, I got something.
Yeah.
My mom doesn't know I ride tubulars.
Yeah.
I've been beating it on her forever.
and they don't know how long of stems you need.
No, see, they don't.
That's the problem. So you can't expect somebody to just magically figure out how long your stems need to be.
I was going to say long stem tubes are worth their weight in gold because you can't find like a 60 millimeter.
Yeah.
Just anywhere. Like, you got to search for that type of stuff. So those are, that's another high quality.
Really nice, Clark. Really nice. Paul?
Well, on that
we're
token.
We're all getting giddy on this, I noticed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy with this.
Well, I think this is where I'm going to lose you guys.
Uh-oh.
A 12-ounce container can of Continental tubular glue. It comes with a brush.
12 ounce?
Yeah, 12 ounce. I do a lot of tubulars.
That's big.
So.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But that'd get you a long ass time.
Yeah.
Like this.
It lasts me a year. In fact, the last can actually dried out before I used it all up.
No shit.
Because I don't flat on tubulars.
That's a good gift, though. Yeah. That's a good gift for the tubular rider.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yep. I'm going to say, for me, I'd be like, what the fuck am I going to do with
if
this?
If you're a cyclocross person, you would want that.
Yeah.
They'd probably go through cans.
How much?
It is, I think it's like 40.
Okay,
$40,
so it's under 50.
39.
It's
under
50. And that'd get you the year, at least a year. Yeah.
See, I would be like, personally, I'd be like, oh, well, I don't know how I'd use these. However, I'd be pretty excited to see the look on Paul's face. Oh, new.
I got him glue.
Yeah,
glue,
yeah.
So that's a yep.
What? Yeah, okay. Did you have a
Are
we on third or fourth? We're on
third. I would look for, because you can never have enough of this, Tempo Microtex Classic Physique Bar Tape.
Oh.
I almost went with that. I almost did,
I was tempted with another one, but since I have Aero bars, there was another one that wasn't as stretchy, so,
so you
put
need,
it in right here.
You need the stretchy.
You need the stretchy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Physique makes some good bar tape.
Do they?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I seriously
think,
don't know anymore, but yeah.
You know, I've had bike ribbon. Well, first of all,
Benoto.
Benoto was my
and
then bike ribbon. Yeah.
Then I was a junior and I had multiple color Benoto because you had to do that.
Yeah.
That was just
and
the rule.
Benoto was like I don't know,
it's thin plastic cellophane tape.
Yeah. And it was
not sticky.
Slippery as shit.
Yeah,
of course.
It'd rain and
if you didn't have gloves on, you were fucked.
Yeah,
and your hands would slide off. It was really stupid. Yeah. Now that I think about it, but it looked cool.
Yeah, it did.
I'd take handlebar tape.
I'm agreed.
In a minute, it's got to be black though. We passed the point of white handlebar tape?
Depends or orange?
Hey.
Orange is bad.
Mine is black with orange polka dots.
That's cool. I like the little variation
little
of color.
Splash of color.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Thanks. I have that on my trainer bike.
Paul doesn't.
No.
Are we on fourth already?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, fourth, and this is kind of funny after Paul said this. Right now, on competitive cyclists. Whoa, I mentioned the wrong guys there. Edit that out. I won't. A Grand Prix 5,000 clincher tire. Continental Grand Prix, 5,000. Usually $83. It's $45.99 right now.
No way.
I don't believe a tire could ever be $83. That's absolute lunacy.
Well, you should see Vittoria Courses, which came on my bike.
Are they that much?
Their sale price is $71.
Jesus, come on!
That's insane.
Now, I have to say, I spent $90 for my first set of tubeless.
Yeah!
Tubeless.
Yeah.
It was the Continental 5000. Tubeless, not tubular.
Oh.
Tubeless. I got some tubeless wheel set.
Oh.
And I went that route for a while until I got my flat on the road, and I couldn't. It was a mess.
Yeah.
I was done.
Stuff spraying all
but,
over the place.
Yeah, so I bought. They weren't in the U.S., so I got them out of England, and they were $90 a piece for the Continental 5000s.
Wow.
Yeah.
So $45.99 right now. I don't know if I'd. I guess I'd be okay with one. The selfish person would be like, I need a set.
Yeah.
But I'd take it.
Yeah.
I'd take it. Would you guys be okay with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anything Continental. I love their tires.
Yeah. 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 All right. Number four.
All right, I'm going to look up the price here, but I was writing down prices, and I didn't. But there's a Continental makes a Revo sealant. I know I have tubulars, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is with
I
that
– switch programs here.
I'm going to find it here.
What?
Yeah, I know. But if you're a person like me, if you train on tubulars –
like to seal them?
You just put sealant. If you get a flat, if it's a small, you just put the sealant in there, and then you're going to get it home. You don't have to carry a spare tire.
That's a great.
And then people are like, well, that's, I had this big jug of it, whatever, it's like $34. I just saw a smaller version of it. So a small, no, this is it. It's $20.99.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Not bad at all.
So that's a liter.
Yeah.
That stuff.
Yeah.
But my wife has all these big syringes they use for flushing and stuff.
Yeah.
Just carry that.
See, I had to go out and buy my own syringe. Yeah. I had to go out and buy my own syringe from online or something like that. God.
That's a good idea.
Jackson?
That's
fourth?
I will go for something I've been wanting for a while, actually, is Thermoflex 2 arm warmers from Castelli. I'm pretty sure you have those.
No, I have Asos.
Oh, well, never mind. But either way,
yeah,
I need some arm warmers. So,
Lightweight, more heavyweight?
Mid-range.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically perfect all year round kind of a
exactly.
thing. I don't use my arm warmers enough. I always end up putting on a long sleeve jersey and then getting too hot.
I find that they're perfect for the morning ride.
Yeah.
When it's cold on the way there, but when you start leaving, it's too warm to keep them on. So
Early spring, early fall.
Yeah. And
that's the times where I use arm warmers. By the time you leave, roll out, it's 50 degrees, too cold.
Yeah.
And then, you know, within an hour or so, we're hit 60 and you're peeling them off up a hill.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not shedding a whole jersey like I am.
And they're small enough that they go right in the jersey.
Okay. None of us are disagreeing with anybody yet.
No.
Nobody's like, man.
No, this is, you know, we need some kind of conflict.
My last one. EPO vial. No, I'm kidding. I had a Crank Brothers Multi 17 tool. I carry tools.
Yes, you
much.
Do.
And
yes.
Paul's probably going to give me a meh on this one because you don't carry as many tools, do you?
No.
No.
I won in a race a multi tool from Park. It had like 4, 5, and 6 Allen head.
Sure.
What else is on there? Like a Flatter or even a Phillips in there.
Yeah.
Just for the small little stuff that you need to get home on. And a spare tube, CO2.
Yeah.
When I had clenchers, when I was riding clenchers, so that's all I needed to carry. I don't think I've ever used that multi-tool.
Shit.
Ever on a ride.
Well, I have one already, but I like this one. It was,
you carry a freaking suitcase of tools.
I do. I'm paranoid. Because, you might need a chain breaker.
I understand if you're doing gravel.
Yeah.
You need a chain breaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need a chain breaker. You need like something like a tool case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was $30, $29.99 for
bad.
That one. For
not
that
bad.
One. But it wasn't my best pick.
No, I give it a yay. I always carry around a set of like, I'm forgetting the name, Allen keys.
Yeah.
Especially with through four, axles.
Four, five, six are the good ones to have with you.
Yeah,
and if you have a crank problem, you can sometimes combine a 5 and a 6 to get the actual to fit in your crank.
And then, like a number eight or nine.
Piece them together. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hmm. All right. What you got, Paul? What's your last one?
Last one. Motorex. I like Motorex. Motorex is from Switzerland, and they do good lubes and stuff. They're tied into MotoGP.
Oh.
Stuff. I've used their grease, and I've used their oils and stuff. Like, kind of spendy. But I like their Motorex.
Overtly sexual, just by the way. But yeah.
Good lubes.
Yeah. Awesome lube. I like the banana. No. I have the Motorex pressure spray bottle. So you put it in there and you pump it. So at bike race, I like having a clean bike. Apparently you don't.
I do too. It's just I was too lazy to do it on Sunday.
So anyway, just, you know, if you're riding through grime, just put a little bit of water in there and you pump it up and you spray down, knock down. It's not high pressure, enough to knock dirt, grime off.
Wow.
You know, that type of thing. So, and that was 2560.
Refillable too.
Yeah. It's just like a little jugs probably holds maybe half a liter, maybe a little more of water. You know, all you need to do is just get some moisture instead of grinding that dirt in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a cool little tool.
I'd do that. Yeah. I'd do that. Yeah. Jay, what you got?
My last one is the Gravel King SK tubeless tire in limited edition pink.
You had me until pink.
Yeah.
I believe we have some potential.
Well, the fact that that tire, so that tire is like, I would say probably the best all around gravel tire. It's like great in the, like the chunk, but also great like on road as well, and all the way up to like you can do anything on a 40C tire, anything at all. I'm convinced.
Yeah.
And so, the fact that all the way up to their biggest 700C size is only $49.99, that's crazy.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By a set.
Who makes it?
Panaracer.
Panaracer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Great set of tires.
You know what? I'm not going to name the company of tires we rode in Belgian Waffle, but I would have preferred those at Gravel Kings.
Really?
For that race.
Yeah.
I just
for BWR?
I think it's a more reliable tire, and I've had some slippage on the other brand we rode.
Oh, well, I guess they are slicks that we rode, so.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's a good tire. I don't know if I do pink. If I had pink coming out of my stocking, I'd be like, fuck, it's one tire. One pink tire. What am I on? Jumbo Visma?
Yeah.
With the front
blue. Oh, that's right.
The front blue.
Yeah, it was just the first thing that came up, but I was also like, I got to create some sort of
sort
of talk.
You had to put some conflict in there, exactly. And I appreciate
that. And you do
that.
Like EF.
That's true. Both. Wow. Yeah. Way, nice way to tie it in there.
It all works.
Nice job. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So that's our 50 and under recommendation list. All this stuff, I think, predominantly could all be found on.
All of mine.
Oh wow. Okay. We can stray if we want to from, you know, paying the bills. But you know, it's
I hate to say it, but that's been my go to when you know, like wool socks. I mean, you don't expect your LBS to carry wool socks. They can't stock a run of that.
Yeah.
Oddball stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there we go. Next week we're gonna up the price. I think we should go under maybe. I think I said $250, maybe $250 or something like that. So we could
and five of them again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll go from there. And by the way,
I feel rich now.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. To you, the listener, send us your recommendations, things that you think would be good, and we will give you a yay, nay, or whatever. Thanks, Grandma. Fucking bunny PJs, you know, or something like that, like a Christmas
Never
story.
Old.
Which I can't believe I didn't mention. Christmas Story is a great Christmas movie.
You know what?
Every year, that's
a guaranteed.
Yeah. Missed the boat on that.
I might push aside Elf for Christmas Story. I think they're tied.
Yeah.
The problem with Christmas Story is just on all day, every day, and it's just a guarantee. Only on that day.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever watched it all the way through since they've started doing that. I catch it midway and then watch it to where I started, you know, kind of a thing like that. But great tradition. Yeah, exactly. Maybe we could, you know, do an interval every time Ralphie says
fudge, but that's not what I said.
Yeah, exactly.
My dad did a tapestry of curse words that still
hanging over something in the
atmosphere.
Oh man! Ironically, my whoop strap just said on my phone that I need to prepare to go to sleep. So there we go.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it says go to bed by 9:23 though. So it's it's letting me know lucky 2 hours you. Early. So
it has
yeah.
to tell you when you're old.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Yeah. Oh,
you ready to hear this?
Yeah.
Let's see. Go to bed by 6:13 to reach 100% of tonight's sleep needed.
6:13.
Yep, that's yeah. my life.
Wow. Maybe he thinks he's a four-year-old because Jeez. He's hanging around with him all day or something yeah, wow. like that. Right on. So, once again, thank you guys for tuning in. We are. I apologize if you were following our live stream tonight. Something was wrong with the Wi-Fi here in the house. Maybe my wife's upstairs making major financial, you know, dealings or something like that because our Wi-Fi was a little slow tonight. But I've been monitoring the live stream on YouTube and it was kind of skipping in and out, and I apologize for that. And Bender's upstairs, he's mad at the Wi-Fi anyway.
Yeah.
So that's that situation. You can always catch us on Podbean, and you can always obviously catch us anywhere you can find your podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, we're on Spotify, we're on Stitcher, we're on what's the other one, Pandora, we're on the Pandoras, stuff
no
like
way.
That. No, we're not. Yeah, I think we are on Pandora. Fuck, we're on everything.
Yeah.
You think I'd be rich? Thank you, Paul Main.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackson Bulger.
Thank you.
We'll catch everybody next week.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.